Hey, good afternoon, world. Good night. Good afternoon, world. Good night and everything like that. I'm late in a mug for this show, but I just want my caller to call in. I'm interviewing Joanne Malone Roberts concerning her son, her grandson. He took an overdose of fentanyl, so we're going to talk to her now. Let me get her in. Hello, Joanne.
Hello.
Hey, sweetie, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Welcome to the Grateful Gift Show with your host, Virgie Lindsay. So we're going to share whatever you have to share about fentanyl tonight and the killing of your grandson. So can you tell the public what's going on with fentanyl, and then I'll intervene.
Well, fentanyl is a powerful synthetic opioid that started out with patches that doctors used to give you for chronic body pain. And now it's just to a point that it has just took over. It's a bad epidemic that people are mixing this fentanyl with pills and not telling nobody. They're thinking they're getting Oxycontin or oxycodone, and they're getting straight fentanyl, and it's killing them and overdosing them, mixing it with cocaine along with ammonia, and you snorted and you die. And this is what happened to my grandson and two of his friends.
Can you share with the public your grandson name and exactly what happened? I think
his
name
was Prentice LaShawn Roberts Jr.
Okay, and what happened when you found out?
I found out on August 30th. I got a phone call that we call him PJ, that they found him dead in the house where his girlfriend and some more friends, they were partying, and some young man by the name of Mac gave them this drug, and they snorted it, and he started seizing, and instead of them calling 911, they jumped up and put him in showers like they think it's television, and sat there and ran off and left him, and they end up dying and was found in the house the next day after the girl decided to call the police 9 o'clock the next day instead of calling 911 at that time. So midnight on one wind.
Okay, this is Virgie Lindsay. I'm at the Grateful Gift Show, your host, and what we're going to talk about, this is the same drug that killed Michael Jackson and also Prince as well. So what do you want to say really to the people that you know responsible and to the public about fentanyl? Joanne, you have to tell the public your story because you have one story to tell. And I'm going to be here with you.
Telling the public and telling these young kids they need to stop using drugs. Stop accepting things from people that you really don't know what they're giving you because they're lying. They think this is a joke, but now this is a life that's been taken, not just my grandson, his best friend, and another young man. Fentanyl
is a drug
that you can't. It's three of them.
Three of them were found in the same house, right?
Yes, on the east side, off of 11th Street. Yes,
okay.
It's bad. It's really terrible. Fentanyl is not a drug. The stuff is so potent that you can't even the policemen had problems back east. They had it on the news where you touch it and it just goes directly through your skin and you can die instantly. That's how strong and potent this drug is. It's more stronger than heroin, more stronger than morphine. It's 50 to 100 times stronger.
Than morphine?
And the doctors, yes, 50 to 100 times stronger than morphine. It's a synthetic opioid.
Okay, remember I shared about 2020 and Prince's death, and all the pills were found in their house. But we got to notice, and the public got to realize something. We have to notice things that we're taking. If it's not from the doctor, why are you going to get it? They're starting to put fake stamps on pills and everything. So what you want to say about them fake stamps?
Someone gave those pills that was gave to Prince came from the streets. They didn't come from a doctor. They were manufactured in somebody's garage. you could order the pill machines, the stamps, all of this stuff online. I don't know if they took it down, but on 2020 it was shown in the young man's garage. He had all kinds of pills. He'd take and put them in the machine, put the powder in there, it put it in the pill, and then stamp it. And they were selling this stuff, making people think it's one thing, and it was fentanyl, and all you had to do was take it, and you were dead. It wasn't no hope, no help for you at all.
Mm-mm.
And this is what's been going on.
So share with the audience, share with the young audience what you would like to tell them about taking drugs, any kind of drug. I don't care if it's like something you know, like, because you said it's worse than heroin. So tell the audience what you think, these young people especially. We're talking young people today. I mean, tonight. But you have to tell them about them drugs, because that's horrible.
Well, the young people think that it's the fad, and if you're hanging out with this one over here is getting high here, let's pop these pills, let's take this. You don't even know what they're giving you. Taking drugs is already bad enough. As my mother used to tell me, it starts out with drinking. It starts out with smoking marijuana. Your body get used to that. You don't want that no more. Then you have these friends here, let's try these pills out. But what are you taking? You don't even know what you're taking. You don't even know if you're going to make it out of whatever you're going to put into your body. Taking drugs is the worst thing that you could ever do in your life. As I told them, I have an old saying, I've been there, done that. I spent age 15 until I was 28 years old as a heroin addict, 17 years old shooting heroin because I'm following the fad, hanging out with people that did it. Once upon a time, I say, no, but you keep hanging with those type of people that no, going to turn to yes, yes, yes. God bless me to make it out. But
Joan, I have a question. Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead, baby.
Can I ask you a question? Remember when we were young and I don't hide anything about myself. We used to take Reds. I think other people took Quaaludes, but I knew Reds. And we used to smoke weed. So what's the difference now that you want to share with the audience, kids especially? I think every parent needs to listen to this show because, I mean, there's too much going on with fentanyl. I don't like that.
The drugs they have now is totally different from the drugs that they had back in the 70s. They had Reds, they had Mollies. Mollies were speed, Reds were downers, F40s. You had all kinds of different pills, but it wasn't mixed with this new drugs and stuff that these people are manufacturing. This stuff is manufactured, it's synthetic, it's made.
Yeah,
the regular pills that we were taking back then and the stuff that we use was totally different from what they have now.
Wow, that's crazy.
Joanne,
I need you to go to another level. What I want you to share is now about who gave them kids and pills, who took them, because this is your moment right now to expose people. Don't sell drugs on the street. So expose whoever you got exposed.
Well, the young man that was said to gave him the lace, as they call it, the lace cocaine, was named Mac. I don't know what his last name is, but his street name, and he's known in the streets by the name of Mac. And it's sad that he would do something like that. Why would you go around and sell something or give something to someone that you know that you done went and mixed up? And the young lady by the name of Selena, the Mexican girl that was sitting there mixing the stuff up, putting it in the little baggies to give to them.
So they selling them baggies?
She was putting it in baggies, and she ended up, they were all about 13 of them. They were partying for a young man's birthday that was supposed to have been that Saturday, and he didn't make it. He died before his birthday, right along with my grandson. They were partying, about 13 of them standing in a circle, snorting this stuff, and then he starts to convulse and foaming at the mouth, and instead of them calling, paramedics are calling help for them, they ran off, put them in a shower, and ran off and left them.
I want you to tell the audience how your grandson was found and what exactly with that shower moment that we spoke about earlier, because I said this is your story now, so share your story. What exactly did they do? I mean, they are wrong.
They took him.
I'm highly upset right now. I start crying because you've been my lifetime friend.
And put him in the shower and thought that that would help them and laid them down. and didn't know they were sleeping. No, they wasn't sleeping. They were drowning in their own fluids and stuff, snoring. There wasn't a snore. That was a choking from them being from overdosing. Because they're young kids, they don't know. Everybody got scared and ran off and left them. Someone could have called 911 and still left. I'm sitting here brokenhearted because I done lost my grandbaby. And this does not
it's
make me feel good, and it's
and
not going to stop.
Let me share with you something. You shared so much with me talking to you about it. It broke my heart so bad. And it's just horrible how people do things and you don't know who did it because, you know, my daughter, Loretta Lynch, she got murdered in a cold case. This is why I wanted to bring to focus about cold cases. What are you doing? What do you think the police department in Phoenix is doing?
Police can't be doing too much because the mother's been calling him and he ain't never returned the calls. I mean, these police, we're black. They don't care. That's just it. They'll take that case and slide it. If they were really interested, they would look into it and keep investigating it. The young lady, his girlfriend, Rayshonette Johnson, place she loved him so much, texting me on phone how she loved him. If you loved him, you would have stayed there and called the paramedics and helped him instead of walking off, leaving him, talking about what you're going to tell us. But you couldn't show up to let us know anything about it. She is wrong and she's foul. That's dirty. How do you love someone and run off and leave them and let them die? I'd have been calling the paramedics trying to figure out any way, CPR, if I didn't know how to do it, anything to try to save his life. But he's gone now, him and two other people. That sad situation. These young people need to stop trying to get high and think y'all know what y'all doing and learn how to listen to what your parents have to say. Been there, done that. God just blessed me to live and change my life.
Nowadays. So what I want you to share also is also why do you think young people want to just take drugs? I mean, that's not the thing to do. When you know fentanyl killed Michael Jackson and Prince, why are young people taking drugs, Joanne? Why do you think?
Because they don't think it's going to happen to them. That was them. It ain't going to happen to me. That's what I used to tell my mom when she used to talk to me. Oh, that's them. It ain't nothing going to happen to me. I can do it, whatever I can do. That's them. No, that could have been you. Anybody can take something and overdose. And what people don't understand about overdosing, you get so much of it into your system until your liver end up kicking it out. And once your liver kicked it out, now you finna OD. Because your liver then took so much of it into your liver until now it's in there and now it's ready to push it back out. And when it pushes it back out into your system, now you're overdosing. And if ain't nobody there,
you know what?
You just die.
I never knew that, Joanne, that people's liver can, you know, overdose. But sometimes
your liver takes so much of it in there.
Yeah, the public doesn't know about your heart, kidney, and your liver. So I want to share one more thing about the other boys and the people, the 13 people that were at the party surrounding them. Who were they? Do you know all of them or just?
I didn't know none of them kids. The one, the young man by the name of Marcus was the one that told us exactly what happened because they were sitting there calling themselves saying he was watching them. They put him in the shower and thought they were okay, and they were just watching him instead of calling. Or they were snoring. They were sleeping. I told them, baby, they was not snoring and sleeping. They were drowning in their own fluids and stuff, sounding like they're snoring. Y'all should have been calling for help. But like he say, he was scared. Him and the girlfriend walked out, ran off, and left and didn't call nobody. And 9 o'clock, this is Wednesday night on midnight, he died. 9 o'clock Thursday, she decided to call for help after her brother them told her to call.
Okay, Joanne, remember we talked about they were snorting that stuff. Tell the public about snorting or taking them drugs, especially snorting it, because I know back in the day, I tried cocaine a few times, snorting it in my nose and stuff, but it didn't affect us like it does now.
That's what the problem is. They're mixing this stuff. That's the issue. It's not like the drugs they had back in the 70s. They had different stuff that they would cut stuff with and cut drugs with. This stuff now, they don't care. They're using rat poison. They're using ammonia. They're not caring. All these young kids is worrying about these little hustlers and don't know what they're doing. It's making a dime. Don't care whose family member they take out. Nothing is like the time. This is 2018. We were back in the 70s. We had all kind of pills and bennies and mollies and heroin and cocaine. And back then, black people had a hard time getting cocaine because that was a white man's high. So we had to have somebody with the right connections to get that type of stuff. But
yeah,
the pills you could get, the weed you could get.
I remember a long time ago that people told me that was a rich man's high. But I turned around and I started selling cocaine, but after I went to prison for selling, I felt so bad for the damage I've done to other people. So just share with the audience, like at the funeral that day, how did you feel when his girlfriend wanted to come to the funeral? How did you feel about that?
I have to pray on that one because, like I told her, I had to pray and ride the bus all the way asking Jesus to forgive me for what I had said to her because I told her I don't even own a gun. If she'd have showed up, I'd have shot her. That's just how I felt. I felt like I'm from the streets, a life for a life. But, see, I don't live that life anymore because I turned my life over to Jesus. This is what got me off of drugs. This is what got me off of heroin. This is what got me off of pills, off of alcohol. People don't want to believe, honey, if you want it and you can get it, Jesus saves and he delivers. Jesus can take away all your drug habits, everything in your life if you really want it. And I had it. I've been a drug addict since I was 15. And it's been over 50 years I have not used anything.
All I did was smoke weed. I used to smoke weed and take them reds a long time ago.
Honey, I was married to a drug dealer. My first husband was a drug dealer, and this is how I got wound up and messed up in this mess.
Actually, Joanne, tell them about LD and how you all met. I love y'all so much.
You don't want to introduce stuff. You don't want to introduce stuff.
I thought this was going to be a hard interview.
You introduced us. That's how we met. Met by you seeing how people, because he's a nice, kind young man, and people are always trying to take advantage of him, and I just didn't like people being mean and rude and just take advantage of people. That's how. And once we met, we end up hooking up and end up, I met him in January. We end up getting married in February. I was his first wife. Yeah.
We're going way back. We're going way back, girl.
1974, February 23rd of 1974 was when I got married.
Before I got pregnant.
That's when I got married.
74.
I ended up, like I say, I supposed to still have my butt at home, didn't even graduate from school. I end up getting married to a drug dealer, and guess who ended up selling the drugs when the man was gone? Me. That's what I was taught. To sell and hustle and be a hustler. And that's not a nice life because you have these lazy people sitting around waiting to rage you, shoot you, jack you, and everything else. And then I got mad because I see everybody else getting high, shooting drugs. So I decided I'd sit there and watch them. And so I decided to shoot some heroin. And when I did, that was the worst day of my life because from at 17 years old until I was 21, I was a heroin addict. And that was not a pretty picture. That's why I be telling these young kids, honey, y'all don't know nothing about life. Been there, done that, baby. Try something else new. Go to school, get an education, and then see if you want to go back down that road, because you won't, because it's not a pretty picture. Being a drug addict is not a pretty picture. Being a dope fiend is not a pretty picture because you're allowed to do any and everything to get them drugs, hit somebody in the head. You might even rob your own mama. That's how deep it gets.
That's right.
But these young people need it.
Girl, I tried to, Joanne, listen, we're going to go to the laughter moment because when I tried to smoke crack cocaine, girl, my back was all stuck against everybody's couch, including my mom. Scared, so that wasn't the drug for me. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know.
It make you paranoid.
I was in
Pomona, California the very first time when rock cocaine came out, walking out of a house buying some weed, and a man was standing up against the building say, hey, you want to buy a rock? And I looked at him, I'm like, what is a rock? He said, man, get away from me. If I got to explain to you what it is, you don't even need to know. Get on away from here.
Wow. That's crazy. So I'm so glad.
Any type of drugs that you use, baby, any type of drugs you use.
Joanne, listen. I'm so glad to have been able to interview you. Let me see how many minutes we got. Hold on. Okay, we got like 9 minutes left. So what I want you to share with the public is whatever you want to share. If you want to say something to the people that were there and gave that boy drugs or sold him drugs and left him there, I want you to share with that. And then also I want you to get with the PPD over here in Phoenix and make sure that it won't be a cold case like my daughter. So share with them what you got to say.
What I would like to say is
right now.
What I would like to say, which they're not gonna do, is you need to turn yourself in, because just like I say, honey, karma is really something else. God say vengeance is His, because I thank God that I'm saved and living right, because I've been in that dude up out the streets. You don't know me that well, because honey, I was worse than a bloodhound. If I could find my husband up in either bra's house from north, south, east, and west, believe me, dude, I could find you, but Jesus gonna find you. My baby is in His grave. He is coming back. But, honey, my faith is in Jesus, not man and nobody else, honey. I believe the word of God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You're going to get back exactly what you put out.
And He shall repay.
Oh, yes.
Shall repay.
Oh, yes. God is going to
repay. All these people walking around here.
We got a lot of broke hearts around here. Broke hearts.
Do you know that Arizona, listen, Joanne, do you know Arizona is the top state in the whole country with the coldest cases in America?
Because the sorry police won't get up off of their butt. They just say it's just another nigga. That's how they feel. That's what they say. We don't care. It's just another nigga. That's how these police is. Black ones, white ones, Mexicans, and they do not care. Cause, and they sit there. They should have put every last one of them people that was in jail. They told their little story. The girl lied. She ran off and left them. But then she called 9 o'clock the next day morning when that boy died at midnight on Wednesday. You should have been calling somebody then, not running away, talking about, I wonder what I'm going to tell their family. And then you want to talk about you want to come to a funeral. Didn't nobody tell us
That's
about
crazy.
A car wash? You should have been a woman and came to the family. Wasn't nobody going to do nothing to you, because all we wanted to know was what happened. But we found out on his candlelight vigil from the young man Marcus that was there. He told the whole story. And she'd been lied to the police.
Story.
Yeah, because he told the truth.
What?
He was afraid. That's what he said. He was afraid, and he ran away. And that's what people do when they get afraid.
But it's, but it's right in a lot of people, you know. Sometimes it's no right in other people. But like you said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I think God is going to repay that.
God is going, honey, the young Mr. Matt.
The day, listen, Joanne, I told you this is going to be an explosive interview. I know it's already going to come on, because it's going to make me heck of mad already. You know what I'm saying? And I started to put it on Facebook. I might start cussing.
No, I'm not going to do no cussing, honey. I done changed
I started to put it on there that I might start cussing. You know, because it hurts, you know.
Honey, don't let the devil,
I
refuse, baby, regardless of what happened, I refuse to let the devil, I refuse to let the devil win, honey. I'm going to keep on praying, stand on my knees, stand in my word, because, honey, one thing I know, God is a man, He don't lie. And that young man that did that mess he did, he's going to pay for it, whether it be through his mama, his children, some kind of way. Because everything you do don't always come back. The way you put it out, it's going to be somebody that in his family, somewhere in him, he's going to pay for what he's done. So he might as well hold on and ride for that boat, because my baby's in the ground, and he ain't coming back. I had that baby from birth. And now I don't even have him at all. I had 17 grandkids. Now I got 16. Thanks to Matt.
Joanne, share with the public, because we're about to close the show. How do your family feel?
They're hurt and broken. My mother is 87 years old, and they have to hold my old mother up. That's a great-grandmother. Kids are supposed to bury grandparents and great-grandparents, not us burying them. You just took a life that was love. My baby was all on the radio. My baby was a rapper. He's all on 36, I think it's called 360 Box, all on the radio. I got recordings of him all on SoundCloud. Didn't even know my child could rap that good.
Joanne, we got 2 minutes left. Can you share with the Go to SoundCloud, his page, and where they can locate him at, and also your Facebook page?
He called himself PJ Boomin. That's what he called himself.
PJ Boomin?
He's on P.J. Bowman, P.J.A.Y.B.O.O.M.I.N., and he's on SoundCloud. You can find him on SoundCloud, and you can punch him up in Facebook and find him in there. I done re-text and re-shared his music and his interviews and stuff on Facebook.
Yeah, I seen that explosive interview. That was nice, that interview that he had before his death. That was really nice.
Yeah, and that broad
that
sitting back there, and that broad sitting in the background in the chair, that's that little heifer that every time he moved, but you couldn't call for help, but you loved him so much. No, you were mad because he had a chance to see his kids and you couldn't go. That's all that is. Now you done took him away from his children. He has a son and a daughter.
Wow.
Hateful. People are spiteful and hateful. But honey, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God got y'all. Better hold on for the ride because he's coming.
Okay,
Jesus
we
is coming.
Okay, we got to end the show. It's 8:30, sweetie. I'm going to call you right now. You all, thank you for joining the Grateful Gift Show with your host, Virgie Lindsay. And this is Joanne Malone Roberts we're interviewing. And I want to thank her for her time, her honesty, the way she feels. You're welcome. The way she feels behind her grandson's death. And I just want to say to everybody, please don't take fentanyl. That's something that people put you to sleep in surgery. That's some serious stuff when anesthesiologists got to give you a drug and monitor you while you're asleep.
Don't take drugs, period.
Yeah. But I'm talking about today's drug is fentanyl. So we're going to talk to you later, Joe, and I'm going to call you because my show got
to All right,
me.
Baby.
All okay, right. I love you.
Love you, too.
So
goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, my.